Any information presented in this podcast should be reviewed by the corresponding professional, whether medical, legal, or financial, before adapting it to your life. This episode of the Union Podcast is brought to you by... Did you know that you can earn points by working out? Become an athlete with a Union of Muscle and earn points for following your workout routine set with your coach. These points, called Fit Coins, can be used to trade in for rewards like tanning session, more training, or all the other fantastic things that our partners offer. So, join the Union. Go to www.unionofmuscle.com and fill out the athlete application and start earning Fit Coins today. Welcome to the Union Podcast. This is Coach Paul. All right, I'm here with a good friend of mine, Murphy. Murphy and I work out at the gym together. We also do a little work there too. Murphy, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and then tell us why we call you Murphy.
All right, my name is James Murphy, originally from Rayville, Louisiana, about 30 minutes east of West Monroe, where the Duck Dynasty show has been recorded at. Been here in Roanoke now for about, since 2005, so going on 10 years. Came here, became a deputy sheriff. I'm also a defensive tactics instructor for our local police academy in Salem, and I also do women's self-defense at the downtown YMCA, as well as personal training.
Women's self-defense, is that what you said?
Yeah, women's self-defense,
okay.
Right. The Murphy thing has kind of stuck with me. I come from a big family. I have a family of nine. There's five boys, four girls. So at one point, with me being the smallest boy, I'm in the middle, but All the other boys are 5'10 and taller, and I had a name called Little Murphy for the longest. And Once I got to college at ULM, one of my old high school classmates referred to me as Little Murphy, and I corrected him, no, it's not little anymore, it's just Murphy. But I use Murphy, I let people call me Murphy, because most people that I know who are my friends and who have talked to me for a while now know that I go by Murphy. So if I get somebody to call me James or, hey, James Murphy, I can know that well, this person doesn't really know me. He's asking me for something or he's trying to get to know me. We have the pictures of all the trainers on the YMCA wall. And the way I sign my name, my middle name is Lee. And I can do it with a slash. Well, every time somebody writes and they don't get clarification of what that is, they'll put it, my L as a C. So my name on the wall is James C, as in Cat Murphy. And so I had a guy come up to me, he's like, James C. Murphy, right? And I'm like, yeah. Like, yeah, I thought that was you. I remember you telling me that. He went on Wyatt's story and everything, and I let him go and do his thing, because I don't try to be rude to anybody.
Right.
And as he left, I told Megan, the local girl who works in the gym, I never introduced myself to that guy. He's supposed to be my friend, but why would I introduce myself as James C. Murphy when I know my name's not James C. Murphy?
That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just so you guys know, I asked Murphy to be on the show today to talk a little bit about self-defense. One important thing is this: some people get into fitness because they're trying to get big. They're trying to buff up a little bit. When I was a kid, I always knew I was going to be short. So I just made sure from a very young age, I got into fitness very early, not necessarily working out with dumbbells or anything right away, but just because I knew I was going to be short, but I didn't want to be scrawny. I don't know if that was just a way that I didn't get pushed around too much in life, but I never really got into too many altercations as a kid, so I never really had to get too much self-defense done. I did grow up in a shadier part of town, I guess you could say. But yeah, all in all, I think I came out all right. I did some kung fu for about a year, and I really enjoyed that. What kind of martial arts do you teach?
Well, our martial arts is based on the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu deep training. It's called GST, the two Gracie, I guess they're great-grandsons, who teach the class there for law enforcement, is what we derive our training from. Going back a second, we're talking about sort of growing up. You know, I can tell you earlier, I was a short guy. I'm 5'6", and all my brothers are 5'10", between 5'10 and 6'1". But like, I came from a little country town and a big family. I have three brothers that's older than me, and they're all bigger, and I have one younger brother that's, you know, the baby boy, he's bigger. So I never was picked on, but I did see my friends growing up being picked on, and so getting into it for that, I never really got into it for that. My health, the reason why I worked out so much is the health part of it. I had my dad pass away when I graduated high school. I was 18 years old.
Man, that's rough.
My mom, I moved up here. Yeah, my mom Ford up here, a deputy sheriff, she passed away that December right before Christmas.
Wow.
So I was telling my wife, there's no reason for me to, and they died young. My mom,
right.
Both of them was in their 50s when they died. They died from cancer.
I'm sorry.
So that really drives and pushes me to stay in shape and work out the way I do. I get a lot of kids in there who tease me because of my size and the amount of weight I can lift. I always want to throw up steroids, and people don't do the background check on steroids and see what it can do to you. I told you guys the other day, there's no reason for me to look good 30 years in my life and die at 31. Steroids would destroy your life quick.
A lot of guys, they get into it and they just get focused on getting big. I think you're right. Once you start building out your life a little bit more, if you have kids and a wife and things like that, you're probably going to change your perspective on sacrificing your long life. Because
right.
Once you really establish yourself and have those other things to take care of in life, your perspectives might change a little bit. And it'd be really sad if when you're young, you start getting involved in all that. And you do something that's going to end up basically damaging your kids and your family in the future because you wanted to get big real fast.
Yep.
And there's probably some legal issues you got to look out for, too, with that.
Oh, most definitely. Being in the weightlifting and in the gym industry for a while now, you know, I've seen people and how they get by with the whole obtaining and using the steroids thing. You know, there's no law in possessing
the
material to make steroids.
All the materials to make it.
Yeah, the material. You can possess it. You can't. It's illegal to possess steroids.
Oh.
There isn't a law to legally possess the material used to make steroids. So they buy that stuff in individual packages. You know, the feds are hit on it. They got a whole bunch of it coming in. They're like, yeah, this guy's making his own stuff. In his
right.
house, which is really, really bad. But most people know what they're doing.
So they just put them on the radar.
Exactly. They put them on the radar and they're still watching it. And they feel that they're either making it to sale or making it to use, and they'll do a raid and hit their house that way. But you can drive down the road all day long in your car with the material to make it. They can't really do anything to you, so there's no law to possess that stuff.
Unless they have a PhD in chemistry, I can't imagine that they're proficient at making it. I mean, maybe if they've been doing it for a while, mixing that stuff together, they could get good at it. But I can't. I mean, that's even riskier, I would think.
I don't know. A lot of people understand. I've been a deputy now going on 10 years. Like, I came in 2005, started working here, and working inside the jail, and dealing with not only the local inmates, but we got fed inmates here, too. So we got guys from, you know, as far as Chicago, from Texas to Florida and New York. So you talk about, well, it's not that they're smart enough to know, but once somebody has shown them the way to do it, it's like making meth.
Okay.
You can make meth with household material. I have a bachelor's degree in Bachelor of Science in Construction Management. We're doing the breakdown of how like concrete and cement is made and the strength of material and stuff like that. So my studies went pretty in depth. I could begin to start to tell you how to make methamphetamine. You know, but
right.
These guys do. You know?
Okay, so it could be something that once you get the knowledge of it, that knowledge can be passed on pretty easily.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get the question every now and then, too. I think it's even more laughable when I get it because my muscles aren't as big as a lot of other people's. I do lift all right. I don't compare myself too much to other people in the gym, but there's quite a few who compare themselves to me. and it's funny at times, but for me, when I'm in the gym, I always try to be respectful. I talk about good gym etiquette, and I put out a few videos on the Union of Muscle website about gym etiquette. There's a quiz people can take about keeping good gym etiquette, but it really just comes down to respect for yourself and respecting others.
Right.
You know, when you're in the gym, for me, the workout's sacred. I hate cleaning up after other people who can clean up after themselves.
Right.
When I'm in the gym, I tell everybody that they're my friend. While we're working out, we're all friends because we're all here to keep each other safe and help each other grow. But some people, they're not there yet. they're busy in there comparing themselves to other people. For me, it's not necessarily about that. And I think that's where stuff that happens in the gym can end up getting out of hand. Everyone's pumped up on pre-workout or whatever else. They get their feelings hurt because somebody accidentally dropped the weight, jumped on their bench or something like that. Have you had any issues in the gym where people getting in your face about anything?
No, both of the guys in the gym know that I'm a deputy. So with that background alone, they kind of stay clear as far as trying to get in my face. I do get the eyeball test all the time. I'm sitting at 5'6", down to 150, I'm sorry, 185, 187. But at 5'6", 185, 187, I got a 500 squat, a 600 deadlift, and 425 bench.
That's good.
So you get the eyeball test, and what are you doing today, Murph? What are you doing today? And one of the things I tell a lot of people who ask me the question, so it's, what do I need to do to get this? What do I need to do to get that? I've been into strength conditioning since junior high, playing football, basketball. So when I got to college, one of the things I wanted to do was get stronger. So I took a strength weightlifting class there, and the instructor there was the strength conditioning coach for ULM football team.
Okay.
And he showed me the way of getting stronger. So once I graduated with New Orleans for a while, and I came here, then 2007, I became a personal trainer. A lot of people want to get this knowledge of, well, I'm a trainer, I know it all already. No, the way you learn and progress yourself in life is to humble yourself and ask questions.
Right.
Somebody can give you the knowledge. If you open your mind up to say, all right, I can see where you're going here. If it's factual, it's factual. But don't believe that your way is always the only way, the right way. And that's why I kind of find myself doing. You know, I get guys all the time. You know, I come in, I don't have time to go in there 5 days a week or 6 days a week and work out. I go in 3 days a week.
Okay.
Or every other day, trying to give myself a 2 day break.
Right.
I have to let my muscles recover from not hurt myself.
Right.
So I do a push pull. And some people who doesn't do that, and they want to do the Monday is back and by, the Tuesday is traps and tribes.
Right.
That's good that you can do it.
Right.
But it doesn't work for everybody. Everybody's lifestyle can't adjust to a 5 to 6 day schedule. So why would I put more stress on myself with everything else going on in your life when I can do this and get just as much production and do it in my way? So, yeah, I'll get the eyeball test. Most people are receptive with me. They look at me and they go, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. I'm going to listen to him.
Right.
And some people are like, no, I went to bodybuilding.com and it says, no, I didn't do this right here. I'm like, okay, that bodybuilding.com brought your workout out for you then.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I think that's good if they're getting started, you know, that they're getting interested. For me, I tell them consistency is the first important thing. They've got to create a schedule for themselves and be consistent with it. If they're not consistent, it doesn't matter what bodybuilding.com tells them. It doesn't matter what Murphy tells them. It doesn't matter what I might say, because they're not there consistent enough. They haven't committed to being healthy yet, and so it's going to go one ear out the other. But if they're on body, at least they're there. They're starting to really ask the questions and doing their own research. I think that's good, but yeah, you're right. Everyone's got to be humble if you're wanting to grow. And I think that's really comes down to why you're there. If you're there to socialize, that's fine. You're there to socialize. If you're there to get big, I guess you're there to get big. But if you're there trying to improve yourself, try to improve, especially if you're a trainer. If you're a trainer, you really, really, really got to be open to listening, because you could come into clients who are getting their workout off bodybuilding.com. And you got to know what bodybuilding.com's telling them. You got to know what they learned in Zumba. You got to know what they learned from Tai Bo. You got to understand these other things so that way you can help them transition from the old way of doing things into the new way. So you got to understand CrossFit. We're going to have some people come on to talk about CrossFit. I know people have got their feelings one way or another. We're going to have somebody come on in a few, probably towards the end of next month, coming on to talk a little bit about CrossFit. You got to be willing to, if you like working out, why not try new things? Unless it's 100% harmful, why not try CrossFit once? Why not try one of the new workout fads? Just so that way you know as a trainer and you can tell other people. My tip for trainers who are listening to this show is that when you are down with your trainee and you're talking to them, when you compliment them, tell them why. Tell them why. If they did a good job, say, hey, you did a good job. Tell them why they did a good job. Oh, you did a good job. I like the fact that you squeezed at the end of that rep. Or I like the fact that you got a full stretch. Tell them why you're complimenting them. So that way, what that does is it reinforces those methods in your own brain. So that way, when you're doing it, you're reinforcing that good exercise and how to do it right for yourself. And then when they're out there on their own doing it, it builds them up. They know what they're doing well and how they can do things right. If you just tell them good job, it's a little bit too open. They could think they did a good job at wrong parts of that form. So that was just a quick trick trainer tip.
And you truly were CrossFit. You know, I remember when CrossFit first started up, and I got some of the guys were asking me about it, and they was like, what do you think about this? The first thing I said when they asked me was, because defend the small bit of CrossFit that I did with, oh my goodness, a lot of it is horrible form because they're going as fast as they can as hard again with 11-style lift. I said, they're going to mess their body up.
Yeah.
And then, you, as you said, you know, you humble yourself, you kind of look at the people that are doing it and how they're doing it. Although they are going as fast as they are still on the control. They're not trying to lift 300 pounds clean and jerk. They're down with 135 or 225, something very easy for them that they can, you know, exert as much possible energy as while they're doing it. So I've actually implemented a lot of CrossFit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it works out. I put my strength and conditioning background knowledge from football and track and basketball into this CrossFit, and it works out pretty good. I do pull-ups. I'm doing correct straight up and down pull-ups. I'm going to do the curving, the kipping. I still do some of the other CrossFit stuff. But it works pretty good. It burns them up.
One thing that's on my radar as far as possible future trends and exercise is the what they're calling calisthenics. That's kind of the street workout with bars where they're doing a lot of tricks on the bars that require a lot of strength. It's really kind of like a gymnastics training, but it's kind of being rebranded and restylized as this calisthenics.
Right.
And that may be, if they figure out a way to make it a brand, it may be the next thing that competes with CrossFit. But right now, the people who are doing it haven't really gotten a system down or a way to actually brand it. I think if that comes out into the market and it gets strengthened and takes hold, I think you're going to get a lot of the CrossFit people who can find that interesting. And since you're not using any weights, it's all body weight, you're going to have a lot less chance of injury. So I think if that happens, and CrossFit, if you're involved in CrossFit right now and you have a CrossFit gym and you're into that, I would seriously start looking in at the calisthenics that's out there right now. You can look at stuff at YouTube, because if you can get a leg up on what might be coming down the pipeline as far as the next thing in fitness, you're going to have a leg up on your competition. Have you seen any of that calisthenics stuff, Murphy?
Just a few of it. And most of the stuff I've seen, CrossFit's doing it, a lot of it already anyway. Like
are they? Okay.
On the rings, the power-ups and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Could be a good transition into that area, and I think CrossFit gyms could start incorporating that fairly easily. You were telling me yesterday that there was some guy who was kind of picking on a young kid, and that kind of got you going a little bit?
Oh, yeah. What you had mentioned earlier, you were talking about, you know, what style that we teach as far as our defensive tackle, and I'm telling you, it's great jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
And jiu-jitsu is, you know, there's stand-up to it because you have the strikes and you have the ground game, because back in the day when law enforcement first started, they taught officers, if you go to the ground during a confrontation, then you are dead. So 100% at all possible, you don't have to go to the ground. Then they changed that to, if you go to the ground, you get to the guard, you stay in the guard until backup comes, comes in the guard's face position. Well, okay. Then when the Gracies came over and MMA and UFC and Strikeforce, all these people start getting a thing, going to the ground and staying in the guard wasn't an option anymore, because most of the dog thugs knew how to get out of that stuff. They watched it, they got into it, they liked it. A couple guys down there now that comes in and who's practicing mixed martial arts, I don't know if you saw them or not. So now we... Gracies have came up to help the law enforcement officers. All right, this is what we're going to work for. And they call it Gracies training, tactical training.
Wow.
We are teaching, all right, if you go to the guard, you can work from the guard. They throw a punch, you can block a punch. If you can go to this position, they can go to this position. Along with the women's self-defense class, the biggest thing that I teach the ladies is self-awareness and self-preparation. You prepare yourself for life. You know, you don't want to be caught off guard. You know, as my co-instructor, Mike Wheeler, would say, most people die twice. The first death is that think it never happened to them. The second death is winning, dude. They're so freaked out that they can't do anything about it, so they died twice in a confrontation they should have probably avoided altogether.
Right. When I was taking Kung Fu, they used to tell me that if you do get into a fight, consider that you've already been hit. Go into it thinking that you've already been hit.
Right.
Because that first hit, if you're not prepared for it, you're down to 80% that you're going to lose that fight.
Yep. Very true. Equilibrium off, you're there. As long as you don't get hit, you can struggle. So then you get hit, and you're like, oh, your thought process is, I just been hit. How am I about to react to the hit? Oh, man, that kind of hurt. What's my thought is going to hurt? But now, instead of you being focused on your target at hand, now you're thinking about the hit and how it hurts and how to counteract the next hit that's coming. So that's true. Going back to the thing, we teach about self-awareness, and one of the things in women's self-defense is, someone picking on a lady that they can physically out-muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about protecting yourself, protecting your body. And we have anybody in that class from ages of 12 to 60 years old is open to all. You have to protect yourself.
Right.
So yesterday at the Y, and I was sitting there, I was on the class come in, and this guy comes up, and little kid, you know, he, when you don't, goes back to the etiquette thing, when you don't understand somebody or get a chance to break it down and say, who is this guy, and you don't know the person.
Right.
But it's the kid that was down there playing, you know what he was doing was playing. He was being loud.
Right.
He was a little autism kid.
Okay.
Instead of the man going and finding another person, an adult, and saying, where's the parent? And then going to the parent and saying, is this your kid? And the parent explained to him, yeah, that's my kid. He has autism. He's okay. I'll get him. Thank you, though.
Right.
He storms upstairs, cussing and cussing at the front desk girl about this kid that's making all this noise, and he's tired of listening to it. And right now, you can see the rage in his eyes that if she don't do something, he's going to take that in his own hand. Her kid is about 9 years old.
Right.
I have a 7-year-old, so that's only 2 years difference. And now I'm getting the parent face going into me as in, you know, I know if it was my kid, I want somebody to take my kid from this grown man who's about to go off on him.
Right, right.
I mean, it goes back, it comes from there as far as saying, there's a right way and a wrong way to do something. You know?
Right.
One of the first thing I did was, let me follow this kid around until the other guy goes around after his dad who's playing basketball. Because if this adult does go to do something, that kid's going to need protection. Stuff like that, I don't think it's called for. It's a situation that could have been avoided and handled totally different, where you had an adult who is, for whatever reason, he got upset at that 9-year-old. Went on the wrong edge of trying to correct a mistake.
So you saw that was going down. There was that moment where you had to make the choice whether or not you were going to get involved and how you were going to get involved.
Right.
How do you make that choice? This is going to come up in a lot of people's lives where you have to make the choice of whether to engage or not engage. How do you know when to make that choice and when not to make that choice? When is it appropriate? Or is it ever?
Well, it's always appropriate. Well, law enforcement kind of humbles you. Well, let me rephrase that. I know there's some law enforcement officers out there, but for the most part, law enforcement should humble you as an officer because of your status in environment.
Right.
In society, I should say. Just because I'm an officer, I can't go in there and say, well, I'm a police officer. You don't talk to me that way. Let me hit you upside the head. Boom, boom, boom. You can't do anything to me because I just told you I'm a police officer and you strike me. That's a felony assault on a police officer. Well, every time I go into a situation, I have to analyze the situation I'm going into. It could just be in the gym and a guy's dropping weights and the sign says no dropping weights and I'm trying to work out and he's making noise over there where he's uncalled for to be making noise. And I'm looking at him going, dude, it's 20 pounds. You can lay that weight down. You don't have to drop it from the top of your head. So I'm always analyzing the situation as far as, all right, here's the problem. How can I resolve it? If I bring a solution, will it resolve the problem? In a weight room, sometimes it's best to, you got somebody on there, like you said, they're pumped up on pre-workout steroids, if that's what they're on or something. Their testosterone is going through the roof right now.
Right.
If you go over there and make that, hey, be done with this, yeah, I'm done. Do you mind taking that 315 pounds of weight off so I can use it?
Right.
You know, or do you just say, come on, man, and just let him go by his business, take it off, and address the situation to the worker in the gym. So I'm always analyzing the situation. Like with this guy right here, the first thing that went to my head was, he's mad.
Right.
One, why is he mad? He could have a legitimate reason why he's been mad. There could have been some teenagers down there who was being thuggish and harassing him. So instead of him being the bad guy, he could have been the victim. First mindset is, don't make judgment. Do what the problem is. When he said there was a kid down there that's just yelling and screaming at him, well, where's the kid? And he started telling the ages and then he pointed at the kid, and I thought the kid was. Now my mindset is, okay, he's just a kid. This kid has autism. He needs to calm down. And now when he's screaming and hollering, he's continuing to overflow. Well, most adults would say, hey, this is a problem. You know, handle this for me. And then they'll bring themselves back down and walk away. He continued to ascend. Law enforcement officers have a scale that they go on when they deal with criminals. It's called a use of force scale or use of force continuum.
Okay.
As long as you're doing what I'm telling you to do, you're being compliant, then all our instruction is by verbal.
Right.
Do this for me. You be compliant, you do it. Once I ask you to do something and you say no, then my next step is to go contact control with you.
Right.
Once I go contact control, if you then comply what I gotta say, then I don't have to do. All right, sir, come on, do it. If I go contact on you and you jerk away, you just went active resistant on me. Now, as an officer, versus just contact, I need to do something to comply with that. So I'm going to pay compliance, something that can make you, no, you're not going to jerk away. I need you to do this. You're going to do it. And it goes all the way up to deadly force. But the continuum is you go up, and our action is derived by what the subject is going to do. So if I'm talking to you, and if you're telling me, no, I ain't doing anything, and you're running, now I got to do something. I'm coming. And all of a sudden, you give up. I can't be up here at deadly force and be so pissed that I'm standing up here beating the crap out of you, because once you give up, my action has to come back down to your action. So I use that same use of force scenario mm-hmm. when I deal with people in the public too, like this guy. I saw that his action was still going up, where it could have got really ugly. He go and tried to assault this kid, so my action had to be one step above. What I did was, without making a bigger scene,
right.
position myself in between him and the kid.
Right.
So if he did make any kind of action towards the kid, I was already there to address him. Look, I'm Deputy Murphy. You need to calm down. There's a 9-year-old. You're about to get yourself in trouble. So I kind of use that to portray my thing. People in society can use it the same way.
Right.
First, analyze the situation we're about to get in. If it's worth it, if you're a mom or a dad,
right.
and there's a kid picking on your kid, his dad comes up, kind of analyze the situation, man. This kid's going to stop stealing my kid. Let me address the father. All right, hey, your son is stealing my kid. Now, if that is a true parent and he goes, okay, I'm sorry about that, ma'am, uncle, sir, I'll handle that, then the problem is resolved.
Right.
So if that dad is a, sure I say, butt,
right.
and he goes, well, your kid needs to grow some balls and get bigger and stop him from picking on him, and you see the problem is going to be resolved there, instead of paying this whole high school junior high thing and saying, well, if your kid don't stop doing it, I'm going to take it on your butt. Then you go into you go to the principal. If the principal, they usually have truancy officers there in the buildings nowadays. The principal resolves and bring both you guys in, and they can usually take from there as far as going, sir, this parent has just told you your kid is being a bully. You need to do something about that. If you're not going to do anything about that, we're going to see that as fitness. We got things in law enforcement with social service called CHIN.
Huh.
Child in need of services, child in need of care.
Right.
I don't know if you heard that bill in the courthouse or not.
I haven't heard the word chin, but I've heard it spelled out. I haven't heard
right.
it as an acronym.
So, okay, well, that's what it means. So if you have a parent there and knows this kid is doing this and they've addressed the kid and the parent is, oh, well, now it's in the hand of social services because they're going to see their parents as an unfit parent. If you're not going to be there to discipline your kid and keep your kid under control, then what else is your kid going to be able to do later on? Are you going to bring a knife to school? Are you going to bring a gun to school?
Right.
The social services are getting in from that way.
Huh.
So, the world is built so you can resolve stuff. Even if the other subject don't want you to resolve it, it can be resolved.
Well, here in the U.S., maybe we should say, here in the U.S.
Yes, I've been aware. Yeah, the U.S.
Because
it's just that, we just got to be careful and make sure we keep our emotions out of it and always think with a clear head.
I almost got into something last weekend. I couldn't believe it. But I was at my niece's birthday party. It was at my sister's place. They have one of those big trampolines outside. All the kids wanted to be on the trampoline at the same time. And my sister's telling me and the other adults and the kids that not everybody can be on at the same time because it'll break. There's a weight limit. So not all the kids can be on there at the same time because that's dangerous. So I was outside, and all the kids wanted me to jump on there with them. And, come on, Uncle Paul, come over here and jump. So I would, but we've got too many people on there right now. So how do we want to resolve this? We can take turns. Is that all right? Well, yeah, let's take turns. Okay, well, who wants to be on first? Who wants to be on second? Since most of the bigger kids wanted to jump with me, they got off, said, well, let the little kids go first. And I said, well, how long should we give them, 15 minutes? And I said, no, 5. Okay, 5 minutes. So all the kids in agreement. I didn't say 5 minutes. They chose 5 minutes. And yeah, I led the conversation in a direction where they could make only certain choices. They were choosing who was on first, who was on second, what time limits. So yeah, I did gear what choices they were making, but they still made the choices that they, who was going to be on first, time limit. So they made those choices. Time's up. Some of the kids come off and some of the kids stay on. They're being little stinkers. They don't want to share.
Right.
And this went on for quite a while. Before you know it, it's cake time. So it's cake time. all the kids who were nice and got off first, they tried to jump on while everyone else went and go got cake. So the big kids missed out on the cake cutting, or, you know, they had to sacrifice now jumping on the trampoline because the other kids were being a problem. They weren't sharing. Sharing's a big part of society. If we're not sharing, that turns in might makes right. We're not cooperating. It makes society a lot different to run. So we're in there cutting cake. Asked one of the little girls who wasn't, well, I don't know who her parents were. Everyone else, I knew who their parents were. I asked, hey, who are your parents? She pointed them out. She pointed to the dad, and I said, hey, I just want to let you know. I thought this was no big deal. I said, hey, just want to let you know we were outside, and your girl here wasn't playing well with the others. I wasn't trying to get into it. Maybe I was overstepping my bounds, but I just wanted to let him know what just went on. I thought most parents would want to know. If he wanted more information, I'd be happy to share it with him. I just wanted to mention it to him so that way he knew that there was something going on and that if he wanted to bring it up with his kid later, he could. He pointed his finger at the little girl and he said, go up to your room. I thought that was a little weird because it's not his house. Right. And then they both look at each other and laugh. I said, oh, that was, you know, I'm thinking that's kind of weird. I was ready to leave it alone. And then cake was cut. And he says, no cake for you, to the little girl. And then they look at each other and they laugh. Take them aside, because they're doing this right directed at me. So I take them aside a little bit. I'm not trying to make a big scene. And I say, what, are you trying to make fun of me? Are you trying to make me angry? What are you trying to do? He says, do you want to take this outside? Like, it went from, he was escalating and pushing buttons and trying to escalate the situation. And I said, I don't think you want that. And he says, yeah, you're right. I'm a lover, not a fighter. That would end really quickly. And I said, well, then what are you trying to do? I don't understand. And he says, well, what punishment do you think I should give my daughter? I said, I don't know. It's your kid. And I said, well, how would you like me to handle it then? If I'm in a situation where I'm watching after the kids, how do you want me to handle it? I don't want you to do a thing. She's in charge, and I don't want to hear about she's not playing well with others. Oh, man, I tell you, it already passed the point where I was, when he asked me to take it outside, that was already the point where I had to make the decision. When someone tells you you want to take this outside, that's where you make the decision about whether or not you're gonna get into an altercation. But there's a lot of kids around. This would change. This is my niece's birthday party, my sister's place. I don't have any kids. So I don't know what this guy was thinking. If I took him outside, he doesn't know if I'm just out of jail. He didn't know who I was at all. Maybe that was a problem, but still, if you don't know who somebody is and you got a bunch of kids around, why would you even risk that? But as soon as I saw that that situation wasn't going to resolve itself, I just told my sister bye and I took off because I have a hard time personally when someone's being that rude and disrespectful to me and plus is willing to create such a disturbance in the harmony of the whole clan at that time. I have a lot of leadership, you know, where I try to lead and make sure everything's good and everyone's happy. And this guy was presenting a real threat to the harmony of the group by first insinuating that there should be conflict resolution, and secondly, not being willing to teach his kid how to cooperate with others. That creates a real issue social order-wise, but I knew that getting in a physical altercation was not going to resolve the situation. And to be honest, I've never been in a fight out of anger. I don't know if I'd stop. I have no idea how I would end up reacting out of that situation. And the repercussions just could have been too drastic for me to enter into conflict. But did I make the right decision?
Oh, yeah. And there's no reason to, you know, get into a physical altercation when you don't have to. What a lot of people in society don't know is that almost everything you do and say is bound by law in the United States. Him even indicating you want to take it outside, get to the verge of him being assaulted. Or say battery. The battery is something, the touching assault of his, you know, the physical threatening of you. So the law in the United States is built to protect the people, which is one of the good things, you know, the bad things.
Right.
You got some crooked attorneys out here, and you got crooked people who try to use both of it against the way it's built for. I use it a lot now with my knowledge of what goes on and what needs to happen. I had, you know, you talk about something like that, where my kids go to school at, is right across from our neighborhood, and the house on the corner, when we first moved over here, everybody parked their car, because the pickup line is so small for the school. Now that car line gets filled up,
right,
everybody else parked their cars on the side of the road, like everywhere else.
Yeah.
So, well, this guy's yard is on the side of the road.
Okay.
Well, some people park on the one side by the school, other people park on the side by his yard.
Right.
We end up putting stakes in his yard driveway or in the yard to keep people from parking there.
Okay.
Well, when the school bus drivers went on strike.
Oh.
Once they went on strike in Aurora County, schools are just left early and all the parents come pick their schools up. Well, all of a sudden now, all these kids' parents that rode buses, you had all of them coming down. So you had cars from hundreds of yards away parking. Life in a parking in this guy's on side of the road, public, with a car partially in his yard, which is also public. So unless there's a curve or something built right there that says, all right, there's a curve, you can't park on the curve. As long as it's flat, even with the pavement of the road, public access. Well, he comes up and puts a sign in her window saying, you know, well, I don't want you parking there. I want to put the stakes up. Well, my wife comes up and he makes a comment to her, and of course she's talking like, well, sir, I don't know. I've seen this other car parked there, so I parked. Well, now, instead of, like you said, instead of him resolving, going, right. Well, I really wouldn't like,
right.
You know, you guys are making runs. He gets upset, tries to intimidate her. You know, runs back down. What the hell am I going out there and bust your window and smash your tires? And of course, my wife's just like,
oh my.
You know, whatever, mate. Yeah. Like, so, okay, whatever. That makes you feel like you're the bigger man and you're right ahead.
Right, right. Oh, good. That's a smart woman. That's a smart woman.
Right. So he runs back towards the van. He has my three kids and her in the van and tries to intimidate her. So she jumps in the van, shuts the door.
Right.
What are you going to do now? And she's like, what are you going to do now? Just stand in front of me? You can stand there. The officer that was in the real direct traffic, he finally saw the situation and came over
there. Oh,
that's
good.
And I told him, blah, 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 blah. Guys that worked there, Murphy, man, I would go over there. And I had all the attention of going when I got off work to talk to this guy. He's in my neighborhood, right by the school, and I asked him, hey, what is your problem? There's a right way and a wrong way to do something, and buddy, you went totally on the wrong side of that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an issue with the way they're doing something, why didn't you take it up with the school system to get better, more parking area for the parents to park? I said, two, you're talking about public access. You know, all day long, a car can park right there on that road.
Right.
But I don't care. Unless there's a curve or something built up and said, no, you can't park here. They can park there. So you also make an issue that is way bigger than it should be.
Right.
So that goes back to the whole, how do you address a situation?
Right.
I said, and by the time I got from work, I've calmed down.
Right.
When multiple situations in my hand, a bunch of them was like, I wouldn't even change. Right? I'll go in uniform, pull to the door, knock on the door.
Right.
Yeah, then he'll call down to the sheriff on me and go, hey, your officer came to try to intimidate me in his uniform and his weapon.
Oh.
So, you know, play your card. You can't just go out and run.
I think maybe some takeaways we can get from this conversation is, one, know that things can escalate quickly and you don't want to be a part of that escalation, but you have to really assess the situation and try to curb that anger inside if you are getting in a point where someone's being inciting anger in you. You got to try to control that so that way you can make more rational decisions in that moment. If somebody actually does physically get in an altercation with you, that's probably about the time to really start defending yourself. Maybe
Correct.
Until that point, you hold off. Hold off as long as you
Right.
can. Don't be the first one to engage the conflict. Well, in your case, you're law. You know, when you're in law enforcement, that's a different story. But when you're not in uniform, you know, unless somebody starts engaging you or somebody else physically, you probably don't step in. Is that right?
Correct.
At least physically.
Again?
You're not going to just jump on somebody because they're in a yelling match. Or they get in a yelling match with you.
Usually, unless I just have to 100% be there and take control of the situation.
Right.
They can yell at me all day long, and I'm probably going to walk away and laugh. You know,
right.
Everybody asks me all the time when they see me, you know, why am I always laughing? Why am I smiling? It's easy. Because you know,
they're pissing you off? No.
Yeah, I mean, it keeps your blood pressure down, one. You know, cause if you get mad, you get angry, your blood pressure raises up.
Right.
It keeps your stress level down. You don't want to get stressed out. It goes back to the health thing.
Nice.
You know?
I
and
like
you,
it.
And when you're laughing and you're smiling, you
right.
think with a more clearer head than you do when you're angry.
Well, and it does make the other person a little bit madder if you're just smiling it off.
Well, you're laughing, you're smiling, you're walking away.
Yeah.
You
okay.
know, once you see that the situation is not going to resolve the way you want it to, and this person is still pushing, and you're like, oh, screw it, I'll walk away from this. As
okay.
I laugh at you, always pick it over your shoulder because you don't want to get, you know, sucker punched from behind.
Right, but, okay, right.
Yeah, you know, yeah. But just think of the last time you did something in anger versus doing something with a clear mind. It's
right.
just, which is a whole lot easier. One of the things I tell the women in my women's self-defense class when it comes down to altercation, you have a right to defend your body at all costs. I know with the concealed weapons permit, they put you through a class, and they say if you have an out in your house, if a robber comes through your front door, if you get to the back door, you need to run.
Oh, okay. Really?
That's a class that they teach us, one of the laws and stuff they say.
Huh.
In the United States of America, with the, along with the NRA, you have a right to defend yourself and your domain.
Right.
If I'm sitting here right now, and there's a robber upstairs, my wife and my young is upstairs, I can get out. I'm not getting out, though. You know, as the Bible will say, woe to he who walks through my front door and tries to take something that doesn't belong to him.
Right.
From the front door to the back door, it does not belong to him. As I tell my women, if you walk into your car and there's a guy, and you could be the only two in the parking lot, and he could legitimately want to borrow money, legitimately want directions, and he could, hey, ma'am, can you tell me something? If you're nervous, let them know you're nervous.
Okay.
Can you stand over there for me, please? He just really wants money, or he really wants directions. That guy is going to, his senses is going to kick in. He's going to go, this crazy bee think that I'm trying to do something to her.
Right.
Screw this. Let me turn around before I get a sexual harassment or rape charge on me. Or I'm just going to stop and go, you stupid woman, I just want directions.
Right. Right. But
I said, don't be so, as I tell the women, don't be so afraid to offend someone in the protection of your life versus being so vulnerable that you let them get inside. And all of a sudden you're looking like an idiot going, how did I just let that happen? It's better to offend one person and keep yourself alive than to try to please everyone and then that one person take advantage of your kindness. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, I hear it. That's good.
Yeah. So, and you talk about the physical confrontation.
Right.
It's okay when you get to that point to say, listen, I'm not trying to fight you. I will defend myself if I have to. Right now, I think it's best for either you to go by your way, me to go by my way, and we can drop this conversation because I can see where it's going, and I'm not trying to get to go there. Right then and there, you've already put the motion out there that this, I'm going to stop this.
Right.
Now, if you're being pushed up on, you don't have to take a punch for you. You already told them, this is what's happening, and I'm trying to stop it.
Right.
And if they're coming up to you, well, you can try to stop it, but I'm not going to let it stop. You want to fight, we're going to fight. Now it's time for you to go into your defense mechanism going, sir, or ma'am, whatever it is, I told you before, I'm not trying to fight you. I will defend myself.
Okay.
And then once I defend myself, I will go and take charges on you, but I'm not trying to fight you.
Right.
And if they keep coming, you have every right and the God has given you only the earth to defend yourself. I tell them all the time. They ask, well, how do you know? I mean, I look at people and I do, I direct them.
So they gave him. They gave him two warnings, basically, almost three warnings. First, back off. Then, I don't want to fight you, but I will defend myself. And then they almost say that twice, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. And like when they first come into the class, they're pretty timid. The stuff we're saying, they're looking at them. I don't know, Murphy. And then by the time the fourth week comes up, and I bring in our, we call these fifth city, we. High school suit where I can dress in a uniform without getting physically hurt, but they can throw strikes as hard as they can.
What was that? What'd you bring in?
It's called a fist suit.
Oh, okay.
It's a law enforcement suit where we train in. We can do demonstrations where I can attack them and they can throw their punches and their kicks and their knees as hard as they can without actually hurting my body. I'm protected.
Okay.
So by the time we get to that stage, their mindset is keen on, I'm at an ATM machine and here's this. I come up, we have a scenario. Hey, ma'am, you know, I see you getting money out. Can I borrow $5? The lady's like, listen, I really don't have a pen. I'm trying to get some money out to get my dog, blah, blah, blah. But he gets upset. Stupid, I just want $5. You got 10. That's half right there. And then from there, she can see the situation has escalated.
Right.
Now, first thing you need to do, instead of trying to just walk away with your back to a guy and you get taken,
right, is
to turn and address, sir, this is my money. I'm trying to get my money to go home to my kids. You need to back up. And we don't try to say it in a bad or intimidating manner. It's
right.
A passive manner that has directions for you.
Sure, so firm, but not aggressive.
You're passive, correct. You're passive, you're firm in what you're saying, but you're saying it in a very, very low-key, sir, I just need you to leave. And now when, if you don't get the statement then where you're like, oh, shoot, he's steady, now you slowly step back into your combat stance where your hands are still up, been in a passive state, you tell them, sir, I'm telling you, I need you to leave. and if they're still addressing you, I tell them all the time, you have one length away is what we call our comfort zone. That's your inner circle.
Right.
If you take your arm and put it out and make a circle around your body, that's your inner circle. And once they pass that threshold, they're about paid for.
Okay.
Now, you told them three or four times, listen, I don't want this to back up. They cross that line. They get their nose broke. They get their balls through the throat. They get their throat, their eyes gassed out. I don't care.
Right.
I tell them, I said, there's no jury or judge that's going to come in and prosecute you because you told this person to back up three or four times. And as you tell him this, and you're trying to back up and get away, he's still approaching you, and he comes to the point where you have to physically reach out and touch him. Yeah, go to court on that one and see how it comes out for you, buddy.
Right.
Then you get laughed out of the courthouse and sit down in a jail cell for a couple of months.
Right. Probably going to get more charges on you than you're trying to put on somebody else. That point.
Correct. Yep.
One takeaway is, me personally, I think everybody should take at least one self-defense class or a course. One, it's going to teach you that when how to defend yourself in severe situations. And two, I think it'll teach you respect of when not to be the person engaging others. Because once you understand that there are ways that you can hurt somebody else pretty badly in an altercation, you know that there's a chance that they could do the same if you're the aggressor. So I think it teaches you a mutual respect. So men and women, I think everybody should get an opportunity to take a self-defense class or something like that for your own safety and for the safety of others.
Right.
Murphy, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk with me and the audience today, me and these fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes about self-defense, about fitness, and about when it's right to engage, not engage, and the right way to stay safe. And to really just, I like how you talk about laughing. Laughing and smiling. If we can all do that a little bit more, we're probably not going to get to the point where we have to worry about an altercation.
Right. Well, I enjoyed it.
Well, now we have Charlotte Snow. Charlotte's on with us today. Charlotte, why don't you go ahead and share with the audience here who you are and what you're up to.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Well, I am I'm an MPC bikini competitor. I'm a national bikini competitor. I've been competing for the past 2.5 years, and I'm getting ready for a show right now for the Junior USAs in South Carolina on May 24th. I started competing, as I said, about 2.5 years ago, and I have become sponsored by Betancourt Nutrition as well as Muscle Foods USA. I love them both. They spoil me a lot, and they take really good care of me. And I'm very, very, very lucky and fortunate to have those sponsors. And aside from my competing, I do have a degree in holistic nutrition, and I absolutely love health and fitness. And I'm also getting ready to start law school in the fall. I got a full scholarship to go to Cal Western in San Diego.
Oh, congratulations.
September. Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thanks. I'm excited.
Before we get more into talking about you, Charlotte, and all the wonderful things you're doing, I want to bring you back up to speed real quick on Murphy and I. We just got done talking a little bit about self-defense. And I think the conclusions we came down to was that everyone should probably take a class in self-defense at some point. Number one, what that does is kind of gives you personally knowledge that you could hurt somebody and defend yourself. And also then it shows you that it's not good to go around and instigate fights, because just as you have the power to hurt somebody, they have the power to hurt you. So you kind of have to be respectful of each other, but know that you can defend yourself if you need to. Really, the only time you should be doing that is if it's absolutely necessary. If you do get a chance, Charlotte, go back, I think, and listen to what he says. He really gives great guidelines, especially for women, to know what to do if you're presented with a situation. He recommended the first thing, Charlotte, to do would be to tell the person who's maybe intimidating you a little bit to back up. Let them know that you're intimidated. What do you think about that?
To back up and let them know that you're intimidated?
Tell them to back up.
Oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Oh, that's okay.
I was going to say, absolutely. One thing that I've always, growing up back in New Jersey, I grew up in a beautiful part of New Jersey, but I would go into Manhattan a lot. And one thing that my father and my brothers always taught me was to always make sure that you make eye contact with everybody, because there have been studies that show that making eye contact and letting somebody know that you're not intimidated will deter them from attacking you or coming after you. So I think that that's actually a very, very smart idea.
Good. Have you ever taken a self-defense class?
I have not. I haven't taken an actual self-defense class, but I do work with one of my coaches who he is a master of different martial arts. And we incorporate a lot of it into my training.
Okay.
So it's not exactly self-defense, but I do have some of those skills, but not as much as I probably should.
You know, I bet for someone like you, if you just took a listen to what Murphy talked about, if you incorporated some of that in with your training, you might be able to be in a good position in case you get into some trouble. But let's get back to you, Charlotte. Now, you've only been competing for 2 years, you said?
About 2.5.
How long have you been training?
I've always been training and exercising and taking care of myself, and I would always do various types of workouts. I would always mix it up. There were periods of time where I would do hot yoga 7 days a week or Pilates, and I would kind of mix everything up, and I do have a background in performing. I'm a singer and an actress, and I've been doing that my whole life, so I as well would be dancing quite a bit. But as far as training, I've always been in the gym, and I've always loved the gym, but hardcore really training for competitions the past really 2.5 years.
Okay.
It was just really a matter of changing up some of the training that I was doing, kind of making it different.
What are the major things you had to change?
I started lifting a lot heavier, and I learned many different exercises instead of your basic bicep curl and shoulder press. I learned a lot of different exercises to hit different angles on the various parts of the body to shape and bulk the different muscles. Also, I did stop doing hot yoga. I could probably do it once in a while, and it would be okay. But to do it every day, first of all, and it would just be too much. I would never eat or sleep because I spend a lot of time in the gym as it is. With the heat and everything, I can lose a lot of muscle that way. So
okay.
I kind of put that out. And my cardio regimens are different as well.
Okay. What's your favorite shaping exercise that you do?
My favorite shaping exercise that I do, that's tough. I have a few.
Okay.
I have to say my walking lunges.
Walking lunges. How does that differ from, it's just a regular kind of walking lunge, or do you do anything in particular that really helps to give you the shape that you're looking for? I'm guessing that's more of a glute shaping exercise. Is that right?
It is glutes and hamstrings, but truly, if you're really focusing on the different muscles of while you're going down, you are also working your quads. So
okay.
All around, it really is just a good shaper for the leg and the glute.
How many do you do for that exercise?
Oh, so many.
So many.
It just depends on what I'm going for. Off season, I try to do a few sets of maybe 25 a few times a week. But on season, I really amp it up. And it depends. It varies anywhere from 50 to 100%. It really just depends on what I'm doing and what other exercises I'm doing for my life at the time.
Wow, that's good. When I do walking lunges, I'm anywhere between 30 to 60 pounds with it, and I'll do it with a barbell across my shoulders. I usually go around the track there at the gym that I work out at. It's a little over 50 steps halfway around, so I'll do 50 steps, then 50 walking lunges with the barbell, and then I'll set down the barbell, walk once around, and then pick up the barbell again and do the other half of the track. So it usually turns out to be more than 50 each end, but a little bit more than 100 in total. But doing sets of 100, as you do, or sets of 50 to 100, I mean, that's good. I mean, that's it for me, usually. So that's really good. But I guess
that's good, too. And I don't, when I'm doing that many, I don't generally use weight. If I'm
okay.
just doing those high reps, I don't use the weight.
Okay. All right.
It really kills me when it's leg day and I'm, training really heavy on my legs and then I'm doing the lunges in between.
Oh.
So it's, yeah, sometimes that, and I kind of wanted to still crawl into a little hole for a little while.
Right,
but
right.
You get I love the results.
You get the wobbly knee syndrome.
Yes.
Yes, I'm familiar with it. Despite my puny little legs, they're easy to work out. The smaller they are, the easier they are to become wobbly under pressure. Yeah, you've got a few supplement companies. I think one of your supplement companies, I actually take one of their supplements. Here on the Union of Muscle, our union podcast, we don't have any supplement sponsors of our own. I don't know if that's something we'll ever really get into. We want to make sure that we put people over products. But I have to be honest, I use Bullnox.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I use the Bullnox. What I like about it, it does do fairly good on the pumps. Not a lot of caffeine, but just enough. And then it has a ton of, if you do any research on supplements that are supposed to boost testosterone levels, it's got a plethora of those herbs in there. Of course, if you do any research on that, there could be some back and forth on whether that's doing anything. But those can be quite expensive if you were to buy them separately. So you do get a bunch of those in the Bullnox. Some things I think I remember missing in that might have been, I was hoping they'd have a bit more B12 and B3 or niacin. I can't remember if they have it in there, but from what I remember, they were a little bit lower on the B12 and the B3 or what they call niacin.
Well, here's the thing. I mean,
but that's why I cycle it. I cycle all my pre-workouts anyways. You know, because after a while, my system's flooded with it. It's not doing anything anymore. But usually, it's Bullnox that I cycle back onto.
Yeah, and you know, you have to remember, no one product is going to contain everything, because if it did, it just simply couldn't contain enough of certain ingredients to make anything really work. So everything has to kind of be carefully selected. I will say the really cool thing about Bullnox and all of our products over at Betancourt, we actually have our own manufacturing plant in Florida. So we make everything in-house. We don't order it and have it made from another country and shipped in. So we can contaminants. Everything is carefully monitored before it leaves. It's just you know that you're getting a clean product. What it says is in there is definitely in there. There's no chance for fillers. And that's one thing that that's very important to me. And that's one thing I really love about the line and that I really believe in and was important to me. As for the test boosters, it's actually really cool. And women ask me all the time, like, can I take this? It says it has testosterone in it. Absolutely.
Okay.
I take Bullnox every single day. It does not have testosterone in it. It's a test booster, as you said, Paul. And what's really cool is that it's designed to work with your natural level. So, like, when I'm getting ready for a competition and I get really, really lean and my hormone levels will drop, the Bullnox will actually work with my natural levels and just kind of keep me even, if that makes sense.
No, it does.
So
it does.
I love it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, we actually came out with our new flavor, strawberry lemonade, which is one of the best things I've ever tasted. It is so good, it's not even funny. It's amazing. For all of our products, you can actually go on to BetancourtNutrition.com, and you can order off the site, and you can use my friends and family code, which is CHARSNOW30, so CHARSNOW30. 30, and you'll save 30% on your whole order.
That's good. 30% is good.
Yeah, you can use it as many times as you like. So, I mean, anybody listening to the podcast is friend or family, so.
Nice.
It's a really good deal. And, the products are just, they're really great products. And, I know that, of course, I'm going to say that because I'm with the company, but I'm very selective over what I put in my body and what I use. So, another one of my favorites is our Rip Juice, our fat burner.
Rip Juice?
Ripped Juice, yes.
Is it come in a liquid form?
No, it's a pill. It's designed to be a one a day, and it has mood enhancers in it. And
it has
Let's say in the morning, mood enhancers.
Say that one more. What I'm hearing is gluten hamsters, and
no.
I don't think it has gluten hamsters in it. So you're going to have to repeat that one more time for me. Oh, gluten enhancers.
No, mood. Like, happy, sad, your mood.
Oh, mood enhancers. Oh, mood.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a lot different from gluten hamsters. Yes.
I mean, it is, but you know, you never know.
Because you're picky about your supplements, and you're not going to recommend anyone take anything with gluten hamsters in it.
No, probably not.
No.
So, it has gluten hamsters, and let's say you take it in the morning and you drink a cup of coffee a few hours later, it will actually kick it back in. Both the Rip Juice and the Volnox are designed not to give you the jitters. There's no crash when you come down. It's a very even energy. I call the Rip Juice my happy pill. I love them. They're really great product.
Yeah, when Jacked 3D first came out, I loved that. I called it my happy juice. That stuff made me happy, at least for a while, and then it flooded my system, and then it didn't make me happy anymore. It tore up my stomach, so... That was a hard one to cycle on and off of because really just wreaked havoc on my stomach. But while I was taking it for the first few months, man, that thing just brightened my mood. So that's nice to hear that we've got another one on the market. For supplement companies that are listening to this podcast, I will try most of your, if you send me stuff, I'll try it. I'll talk about it on the show. But if you send me anything with any hidden illegal substances in there, because there are some companies who've done stuff like that in the past, I will prosecute you to the full extent of the law. I think it's important that we don't put illegal substances in any supplements. I don't think your companies have ever done that, but there are companies out there that have.
Yeah, no, we definitely do not. Muscle Foods is one of the largest distributors in the country. We actually distribute for all of the supplement companies, to all of the retail stores, and we, as well as having our own line. We have three lines that are made in-house, and that is our Body Effects line, which are topical fat-burning creams. We have Ab Effects and Tone Effects, and it's great because there are some people who don't like to take pills or don't want to take stimulants, and these topical creams you actually can put on your stomach and under your glutes and on your arms, and they're designed with a proper diet and exercise to heat the skin and pull the water. They're really great for people on PrEP, getting really close to the show to help pull that last bit of water out. I use them every day. I love them. Again, you guys can go on to bodyeffects.com and you can get 20% off your order by using the code CharlotteFX. We have Muscle Sandwich, which are delicious.
Can you give me that Charlotte and then F is in Frank, X is in xylophone?
Yes.
Okay.
And that'll save 20% off of your order.
Okay.
And then Muscle Sandwich, which is a delicious, amazing tasting little protein sandwich. They are a little bit higher in calories that you wouldn't want to take when you're trying to lean out. They're a great snack for leg day or days you're training extra hard and you need those extra little bit of calories.
Sure.
They taste amazing if you freeze them. Eat them, frozen. They taste like little peanut butter ice cream sandwiches.
Nice. I mean,
they're just amazing. Yeah, so good. And you can order those at MuscleSandwich.com and use CharlotteMF for 20% off of those.
That's M as in muscle, F as in frozen?
F as in Sam.
Oh, S as in Sam. M as in muscle, S as in Sam. Okay.
Yeah. And they're just incredibly delicious. I mean, they're just so good. And our final line is the Eclipse Sports Supplement line. We have everything from just your protein to your basic vitamins and minerals and a wide line of pretty much all of your necessary sports supplements, glutamine, things like that. So, and another favorite product I forgot to tell you about Betancourt, I don't know how I could forget because this is like my all-time favorite thing ever, is our glutamine chewies. They are little tiny baby muscles. That's what we call them. They taste like little baby sweet tarts. And they are sugar-free. They are serving of glutamine. I love them, especially when I'm dieting, because I feel like I'm having a treat, but I'm having something bad when I'm not.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, and same thing, you can order them at BetancourtNutrition.com and use the same code that I gave before.
Right.
They're just amazing, so.
Cool. Awesome. Well, hey, Charlotte, I really appreciate you you know, telling our listeners about that, and especially those discount codes. Our listeners may or may not be strapped for cash, but the bodybuilding and fitness industry can be full of things that can just suck money away. So it's nice to be able to get a break on the things that we might use to help us build a good physique. So I do appreciate
Absolutely.
That. Now, you mentioned a little bit about evening out your hormone levels when you're getting close to a show. Last show, I got some flack from a listener who told me that I didn't know enough about caloric restriction. I said that in caloric restriction, there's a chance that you might have some hormone issues. It can play with your hormones a lot. And what you're saying kind of confirms that to me. Is there a chance that when you're doing a severe cutting that it can mess with your hormone levels?
Well, any time you're, you know, drastically changing your body one way or the other, whether you're cutting or you're eating too much, you can definitely affect your endocrine system. So, you know, diet and exercise play the biggest part in every function of the body, including the way the hormones work. So, yes, when you get very lean for a show, your hormone levels can drop. If they're not, I'm not saying that they're going to drop to a point where you're in danger or you can hurt yourself or
okay.
you should worry, but they could definitely drop to the point where you can lose energy and
oh,
you
okay.
can maybe become a little bit moody. And so, yeah, anything you can do to help keep them regulated and keep them even is definitely not a bad idea.
So I may have overstated that it might be dangerous. Okay, all right.
I don't,
okay.
yeah, I mean, listen, it for some people, I'm not going to say that I know for a fact that it won't be.
Right.
For the majority, not. But I mean, it certainly could be, especially if someone takes it too far. So
okay.
you know, you need to be really careful with anything you're doing, of course.
All right. All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for that. That brings me to one point just for our listeners. I can mess up on things. Last week, if you go to listen to the last episode one show, I did mess up on some math when it came to calculating total fat I had on my body based on my body percentage. But I did correct it in the notes for the show. But this is what I'll do. If you guys can catch a mistake I make, not one of the guests, just me, if you catch one of my mistakes before I do, and you can back it up with real research, then I'll give you a point on your exercise leaderboard. So if you're on our website, there's a point system for doing your exercises with your coach, and I'll give you an extra point if you can catch me messing up and you back up that information. Backing it up with real information means if you're going for a statistical approach, research needs to be more than 100 people, and I mean you have to kind of look at statistics and understand how statistics are made and what statistics are good statistics and what are just there to help you see that there might be further research done. So I'm not talking about those studies. I'm talking about full-fledged studies that can prove one way or another. And the reason I do that is because I'm okay with the fact that every now and then I can be wrong, but if somebody's going to correct what we say on the podcast, and you're that adamant about it, it's important that there's enough research there in order to make sure that the other listeners who are there are able to take that seriously. So
That's really cool.
I think we're going to, in the show, there's going to be guests on from different walks who have different ideas that may not be mainstream, or it may be mainstream and incorrect. And that's okay. We'll do our best to correct that as we go. I want to give you guys the best information we can, beneficial, but also to enjoy ourselves as we go along. That's one thing we're trying to do here on the podcast. And please comment on the show notes if there's something that you want us to cover on the podcast. Feel free to let us know. We take requests. So, Charlotte, you have a show coming up?
Yeah, May 24th.
May 24th. Where's that at?
South Carolina.
What's the name of the show?
Junior USAs.
Junior USAs, what does that mean, per se? Is that just a show for people under 18, or?
No, oh. I'm definitely not under 18. No, it's just the name of the show.
Is that a qualifying show, a pre-qualifying show? How does all that work, just for people who aren't familiar with a competition circuit?
Actually, this show is a show that you have to qualify for. It's a national show, so Generally, you need to do regional shows, which are qualifiers for national, and then the national shows are pro qualifiers. So at this show, I'll be competing for my pro card.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah. So you're competing against other people who have already gone through some pre-qualifiers to get where you're at.
Exactly. We've all had to place in a regional show in order to compete in this show.
Wow. Wow. That can change the playing field because at a local show, it's just whoever shows up that day.
Kind of, yeah. You would hope that everybody, you know, really put their time and their work in, but generally speaking, yes.
Yeah, so these are people who aren't just people who happen to show up that day. They're people who have been put through the ringer at least once and have shown that they're trying at least.
Yes.
And what does that mean for you to get your pro card?
Well, it's something that I think everybody who's competing is ultimately going for. It's kind of the next step in your competition career. For me personally, I want to get my pro card, obviously. The one thing I will say is I keep a very positive attitude about it because here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to make it to this level and you're working this hard and you put the time and effort in, honestly, I think everybody who can step on that stage is a winner. So while it will be great to have the pro card, I think that we're all pros in the sense of to put the dedication and the effort that we do. We've all already accomplished so much. So, I would love to get my pro card, but at the same point, I'm very real about the fact that just being up there and looking the way we do and feeling the way we do is such an accomplishment in itself.
Yeah, I have not competed yet. There's fairly good reasons for that. I don't feel I'm where I would need to be to compete yet, but I am interested in it. The only reason I'm interested in it, it's not for a pro card. It's because I like to challenge myself. I like to see these other physiques up there and say, can I get to a level that's close to that? I don't even need to beat them. I just want to see if I can compete with them. That's my driving ideas behind why I would like to compete. Yeah, I've got a lot of things on the table before then. I think once you find that if you go to law school, your competitions might have to take a backseat to education for a little while.
I may not compete my first year.
Right.
But by the second year, I definitely will. I'll still train every day.
Right.
For me, I don't really, even in my off-season, I still diet. I have an off-season diet, and I bring my food everywhere. So getting ready for a competition for me really isn't that crazy anymore. It's going to be a matter of, I think, being able to take that weekend to go and do the competition and not being able to study. But as far as the prep goes, it's just my lifestyle now. So
right.
I don't really plan on taking too much time off from competing.
Well, school, especially at that level, it can be very stressful. Very stressful. It can change a lot of your day-to-day. Not that you wouldn't eat well or work out. It'll change the stress level. And adding something else onto a pile, I mean, it depends on what school you go to. I've met very few people who've gone to that level of education who don't find it extremely stressful.
Oh, of course. But, you know, eating well and exercising are definitely going to help with the stress level.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, there's just no way. I mean, for me, that's just my priority because my health will always come first no matter what. Because if I'm not healthy, then I'm not going to be able to succeed in the other areas of life. So, yes, I'll be studying like crazy. I won't be working, but I can definitely take an hour and a half out and make sure I get my exercise in. You have to eat, so just taking your food with you to school, no big deal. I cook in bulk, so I always have the food ready to go. I just make a bunch of food a couple times a week, and then it's there, and I just pull it out, and I take it. And so you just find ways to make it easy.
Right. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's real good. I get food that it's healthy, but I can prepare quickly. I'll take some rice, some brown rice, and I'll usually make that a little bit extra. But other than that, I just make sure that I can cook that chicken, and I'll stick it in, and then walk away, do something else while it's cooking, and then I come back to it. So that's the way I handle it. If I had more discipline, I'd probably start preparing those big meals ahead of time for the week. But everyone's lifestyle is different. I think that's what's good is that here on the show, we can share. Charlotte might be someone who's cooking in bulk, and that's going to be really good for people with certain lifestyles, whereas I'm cooking as I go and just, you know, sticking it, knowing what I need to cook, sticking it in and knowing when I need to come back. If you know your timing on your food, it doesn't take that long to put it to cook and then come back to it later. So I think the various different ways of preparing your meals, it's good to know because life can change, people can change, circumstances can change. Anything else we can bring up to our listeners, Charlotte?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm so happy that I got to come on the show, and I definitely would love to come back and talk about some other things at another time.
Sure. Yeah, so, Charlotte said she'd be interested in talking a little bit about some of the body dysmorphia issues, particularly the anorexia bulimia. So we look forward to having her on a show. I've had some hits on that. I really want to make sure we have a guy-girl pair on that because I think there's particular issues which men and women are going to have differently in that area, and that I think it's good that both the men hear what the women are going through and the women hear what some of the men are going through, vice versa. So, yeah, we'll come back. I could start talking about that right now, but we'll save a whole show for that.
Yes.
But, Charlotte, I do. I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to come on the show. I wish we were able to coordinate things better so I could get you and Murphy at the same time so we could riff a little bit better back and forth. I'm grateful for you coming on and taking the time to talk with our fit freaks and geeks and all-around athletes.
Well, thank you. I'm grateful that you asked me to join the show. It was really great, and I would love to come back on. So thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Union Podcast. Please stay tuned for a quick message from the Union. Are you a personal trainer who is tired of dealing with the business end of business, or a person who wants to start personal training clients? Then visit the Union of Muscle and fill out the athlete application form and check at the bottom, yes, that you are interested in becoming a union coach. The Union of Muscle turns the commission structure upside down for our union coaches, making them the most well-compensated in the industry. Union coaches benefit the most from the Union of Muscle's complete fitness system. Help others lift strong and prosper by becoming a union coach. Join the union. All right, you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes, don't forget to like us, join us on Facebook, and all your favorite social media outlets.